The Bible has several things that it has to say. That is, God has several things to say in His Word about the things that are past, former things, from different perspectives, and we want to study some of that this morning. The plan is to start smaller and get bigger, at least from the perspective of time and how God teaches on this particular subject, things He has to say. And there's a lot for us to learn and consider from these different points that are found in God's Word about former things. Let's start by considering things that are former things in our own lives. In Philippians chapter 3, we find the Apostle Paul, inspired of God, writing about or reflecting in his own life and things that have that had occurred in his past. And we see here in this passage, starting in verse 3, he says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I know we read several verses there, but there was a description starting in verse 3 of Paul's life and the things that he had and the way that he lived before he was a Christian. And his standing among in the nation of Israel among the Jews was at the very top as far as his background, his lineage, his education, and connections, and all of those things. Paul was at the very top and had more to lose, more to give up as far as those things were concerned than any of the others that were boasting in those types of fleshly things. And Paul expressed how he had no confidence in the flesh, and none of us should. And he forgot those things that were behind. Now, Paul also had in his background the persecution of the church. And it wasn't that Paul forgot literally or was able to do something with his physical memory where he no longer knew what he had done in the past or any of that. But there is a standpoint or a way in which he had forgotten those things. He put them away from him, and he was not focused on those things that were behind. Now, as far as those things of the flesh, he put that away. He had no confidence in those things anymore. He had turned away from all of that. As far as the sins he'd committed, he had repented of that. He had turned away from those things. And was he busy spending his time looking back on those things that he had left behind? Or was he looking forward now to what his particular job was, his purpose, which is the same purpose we have as Christians, to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Paul was very focused on where he was going. He was not concentrating on all of the things, the former things in his life. Certainly not from the standpoint of looking at those things with any kind of attachment or longing. Jesus warned us to remember Lot's wife. She was one who looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah. Her heart was there. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Her treasure was in this earth, and her heart, her love was of this world and the things of it. And she was looking back to those things, and Jesus said that no man is fit for the kingdom if we put our hand to the plow and we're looking back. It also can affect us if we're looking back on those things that we've done in our past that were sins. If we have guilt over those things to the point that we're spending all our time thinking about that and we're worrying about those things and are not doing the things that we need to be doing now. This was a problem that was pointed out in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. regarding one of the brethren there in Corinth, who we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 had been living in fornication, and for a while the church was tolerating this sin to be within the body. They were rebuked for that in 1 Corinthians 5 and commanded to deliver that one to Satan, who was guilty of living in that sin, that he might be saved, but also to protect the purity of the church, because a little leaven is leavened by the whole lump. All of that is in 1 Corinthians 5. Well, here in 2 Corinthians 2, we are about a year later and looking at what has transpired in the meantime, where we learned that this man had repented. The church had obeyed the commandment they were given in 1 Corinthians 5. And he did receive that punishment of being delivered to Satan, which meant the brethren couldn't eat with him. So they no longer had kept company with this brother of theirs who had been in sin and was not repentant. But then he did come to repentance. So they were commanded now to forgive him in 2 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. He says, "Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many." So that punishment had done its job and it was sufficient. Did he need further punishment to continue to have the brethren to treat him as if he were still guilty and living in the sin which he had repented of? No, that was not something that needed to be done. And he says in verse 7, "So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him." Now, is it possible that if that we could look back on things that we have done and be focused so much on that from in the guilt of it, that we could be swallowed up? That is, and literally, that is to be drowned in that sorrow over those things. Well, we're not doing now what we need to be doing as far as serving the Lord. That was a warning there, and this was a danger for this particular man if they didn't confirm their love towards their brother and receive him back. So the Lord doesn't want us to be so mindful of those things that we've done in our past, those former things where we're not able to do now what we should be doing in terms of serving him, and that is if we've repented of our sins. Now, we do have the great and precious promise from God in Hebrews chapter 8 that if we've repented, that God is merciful to forgive our iniquities. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, he says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Now again, this isn't God saying that he will literally not be able to remember or have any knowledge of what we've done, but as far as remembering those things against us, where we're going to be punished in eternity for those sins that we've repented of. One of the great promises we have in Christ is forgiveness of those sins, and that God is not going to remember those things against us anymore. Well, that's a great blessing, but we need to, as the Lord is not going to be holding those things against us, we also need to move on and press towards the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. An exception to that would be if we've not repented, because in such a case, time is not going to take away from what God is going to know of what we've done and his punishment of those things eventually. Now, people do tend to want to forget the things they've done when they've done wrong and not repented of it. Proverbs 21 and verse 2 tells us that every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. People have a tendency to be able to find a way to rationalize or make excuses for the things that they've done, where in their minds they make it okay. We can work things out in our minds where we justify ourselves from any number of things, where we think that we're okay with what we've done, even when we're guilty of wrongdoing. But God knows the truth, and he's not going to judge us according to the way that we've deceived ourselves into thinking we're okay when we're not. He's going to judge us by what he knows to be true, by his standard of his word, and we better be right with him according to what he says. And if we're guilty of sin and we've not repented, how many lessons do we have in God's word that show us that God doesn't forget those things over time? We can look at the example of the Amalekites. 400 years after their sin against Israel, when they had preyed upon the weak of their number and attacked them when they were wandering there in the wilderness, and God had determined at that time that they would be destroyed for that one day. Well, when their wickedness became full, Some 400 years later, under King Saul, God gave the commandment to carry out that sentence, that judgment that he had pronounced upon them back then. Well, did 400 years erase God's memory of the wickedness that they had committed? And those people had not repented of their sins. They had gotten worse. God didn't forget those things. They had not repented, and they were judged for what they had done. Are we going to be able to escape the judgment of God and the punishment for our sins if we just somehow erase them or put them out of our minds, suppress those things where we don't try to think about those things anymore? That's not going to take away God's memory of those things. If we've not repented, we're in danger. Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Except you repent, you will all likewise perish." We must repent of our sins if we're going to have God's forgiveness that we were just looking at a moment ago. And in Luke chapter 18, we have a parable that Jesus taught about two different men. And one of them certainly was aware of the shortcomings in his life and the sins that he had committed, and was on that basis asking God to forgive as he was now repenting of those things. And this other man clearly was putting out of his memory the problems that he had and things he was guilty of, and instead was thanking God for how excellent he was, as he was not justified by the Lord, as he was justifying himself. And in verses 9 through 14 of Luke 18, Jesus spoke this parable to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." Now, was this man, as he was telling God all the good things that he was that he had done and was doing, and the bad things that he wasn't doing, was he looking at the things that he had done that weren't right and things he needed to change, or was he putting that out of his mind? I mean, clearly he's not thinking about those things or mentioning those things. But look at the other man in contrast, verses 13 and 14. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So when we look at the former things as it applies to our own lives, we know what we've done. If we haven't repented of sin, we need to. We must, or we're going to perish. If we have, then we need to look forward and press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as Paul was, and certainly not to have any guilt over those things to drown us and prevent us from being able to serve the Lord and accomplish his will that he has for us in this life. Now, as we broaden out from there, not just the former things of our lives, what about the former things, that is, the things that have happened in the past as far as this earth is concerned? Now, no, we're not going to look at world history or secular history. And certainly people in that realm, they have their own sayings such as, if you don't remember history, you're doomed to repeat it. Well, that certainly is something that people look at in terms of the secular realm in history. But we're going to look at the history that God speaks about, the things that have happened in this world that he tells us about in his word. Now, does God want us to remember those things, those former things, or does he want us to forget those things that have happened that he gives us as lessons from his word? And there's a great danger in forgetting those things. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that people willingly do that. People don't like to think about what God has warned us of in his word, things that have happened, things that God has done. We mentioned a moment ago the things that God has done to show his punishment of sin. Do people like to think about that? Well, no, because again, they want to put out of their minds the things they're guilty of because they want to continue in their unrighteous ways. And if they can convince themselves that God's not thinking about it either, or that he's not going to punish it, well, then they can feel much better about what they're doing. But to think about the things that God has said in his word, as he has condemned sin, as he has spoken of his judgment of it to warn us of what's going to happen if we don't repent, people will be very willing to forget those things. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 7. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So obviously the Lord wants us to remember, and he wants our minds to be stirred up to remember the things that he has spoken in his word. verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So here are the scoffers, and they're saying nothing has changed. Nothing is ever going to change. There's never going to be a day of judgment. Jesus isn't coming back. There's not going to be an end of the world, and there's certainly not going to be a judgment day and punishment to come of evil. He says that's the way people would be. Now, do we have such scoffers in our time? There are lots of them, and they seem to be scoffing louder these days than before, but they're around. We have this exact situation that he was foretelling here. And in verse 5, he says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He says that men are willingly ignorant of the flood that occurred in Noah's time. That's one of the examples that he used in chapter 2 of this book to remind us that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, but to reserve the unrighteous to the day of judgment to be punished. That's what he said in 2 Peter 2, verse 9. And one of the three examples that he used to illustrate that or prove that point was the flood in Noah's time. Well, here he's bringing that up again and says people are willingly forgetful of that. They don't want to think about that, because if God judged the world before, and if he was willing to destroy the world for its wickedness back in Noah's time, what does that say about his promise to send his son back in flaming fire to take vengeance on those who do not know God and obey not the gospel of Christ? 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. What about that? Well, that would say then, of course, that what God promises will happen is true and will occur. There will be an end of this world. There is going to be a day of judgment. And if men aren't ready, they're going to face that punishment from the Almighty. And that's how he concludes it there in verse 7. So the Lord doesn't want us to forget the former things that he has told us about in his word and the lessons that we can learn from that. Let's turn to Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16. Now, this is on the positive side, the way it should be with us, as we read these words of the psalmist here in Psalm 119, 15 and 16. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That's the way it needs to be with us, that we will think about those things. We will not forget those things, that we will learn the lessons from God's word and apply them to ourselves so that we live right before God in this life and that we're prepared for that day of judgment and for eternity. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, unfortunately, God's people who had those words of this psalm that we just read, by the way, they had those words available to them, as well as all the other words that God had spoken to his people Israel by Moses and by the prophets. They had those words of God to teach them, to warn them. But what had they done with those words? Well, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now he mentions the priests particularly, who are responsible for teaching God's word to the people. But they have forgotten the very law that they were supposed to be teaching. The people then were ignorant of God's law, and they were destroyed for their lack of knowledge. But notice who had responsibility for this. His people did. They had that word available to them, but they willingly rejected it. That's what he says. It wasn't that, well, they had no way of knowing and they were unwillingly ignorant. He says, you've rejected knowledge. So they were willingly ignorant of what God said. They had forgotten those things. They put them out of their minds, what God had taught them. They didn't want to think about it. They didn't want to hear it. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 30, they literally said that to the prophet Isaiah concerning the things that he was teaching them from God. He says in verse 9 that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They wanted it to stop. They don't want to hear it. They said, stop saying these things. Cause this to stop and go away from us. We don't want to hear it. We want to hear smooth things. We want to hear things that make us feel good about ourselves. Not any different than the way people are today, is it? But we have that warning from God not to forget because of what that will do to us in terms of our souls in eternity. We have a warning in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Long before the people of God were destroyed by their lack of knowledge, God warned them that they would be destroyed if they did lack that knowledge. And he told them not to forget, but they did anyway. But let's hear these words so that we don't forget what God has warned us of. Deuteronomy 5, chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh to them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, under the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. Now later on in the chapter, in verses 23 and 24, he said, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and made make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So he told them, remember what happened when you were there on the mountain when it was quaking and there was the thunders and all of those things that made them fear so. And remember what God said to you on that day. And don't forget them or else you're going to end up falling into sin and God will destroy you because he's a consuming fire. Well, those very words and quotations from that passage in Deuteronomy 4 are brought up in Hebrews chapter 12. As he warns us not to forget these former things, the things that have been told of us by God in his word. In Hebrews chapter 12, he tells us in verse 18, for you're not coming to the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and of the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So there he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 4. But he tells us, don't forget what God has told you, as they were warned not to forget. Unfortunately, they did. But he's told them not to forget. And he brings up that those words that were spoken to them on that great day when Moses was given the law, when the mountain shook. But if that were true for them in that time, with those words, he makes the point, then what about us if we forget these former things, these things that were done and written about in God's Word in the New Testament about Christ and all of that he had to say to us? What if we forget the things that were spoken to us by God's own Son? How severe will our punishment be then? And that's why he concludes that saying, "For our God is a consuming fire. Let us not forget these former things at any point." Now, then we can look at, as we broaden it out to the biggest or the broadest way we can look at things, what about all the former things of this world in terms of the life to come or eternity? What of all of those things? Well, while we're here in the book of Hebrews, if we turn back to chapter 11, he reminds us what our lives will be like as servants of God. As his children, we're going to be facing many temptations and many sufferings for righteousness' sake. Following God and serving God does not make for an easy life. That is never promised in God's word. He's describing in Hebrews 11 the lives of his faithful servants. We don't have time right now to read the whole chapter, but as he starts with Abel and the example of Abel, and certainly Abel didn't have an easy time of it, did he? But from there he goes all the way through and speaks of Enoch and then Noah and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and so forth, all those examples. But we'll come down now to verse 35 in Hebrews 11 where he says, "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So there we're told what our life will be like as a child of God, and it will be a life with suffering for righteousness' sake. But he says we need to endure those things, run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. And of course, we have his example and all that he went through and all that he suffered, which he goes on to speak about in the verses that follow. And Jesus overcame all of those things, and we need to follow in his steps and run the race that he ran ahead of us. But as we're going through all those things in this life, we are given a great promise of God in the book of Revelation. How these things that we're going through now and the way our life is now is not the way when these things become former things in the life to come. We're not going to be having those same things in that world to come in heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the water of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all lies shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Well, there we find that great promise to him that overcomes. This is why we need to overcome. If we overcome, he says these former things, which are right now present things, the suffering, the sorrow, death and crying and pain, those things will then be former things and will be passed away. And they will not be a part of that new home that we will have, the new heavens and new earth that we will have in heaven in eternity with our God. That will only come if we overcome now. If we do endure the things that we're going through right now as we are serving our God and seeking him to follow in his steps and follow Christ who ran the race before us. If we look to him, the author and finisher of our faith, and run with endurance that race that is set before us, and if we do lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. See, then we're mindful of those former things, those things that we have done where we've repented of it, and then we press forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, there it is. That's what we're reading about here. And then those things that we have to go through in this life will be no more in that one to come. And I know that we've all been, it seems like all of us, or so many of us, have been affected in recent days by family and very close ones and to us, loved ones that have had to face some very difficult things, health problems and sufferings and death and all of that. And it is a reminder to us of the things that do occur in this life. But if we follow the Lord and we do overcome, those things will not be present in that life to come. But we have to be ready for that. And the way that's going to happen is if we serve our God and keep His commandments now. We'll close with Revelation 22, 12 through 15. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and adulterers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Well, we want to be inside that city, not on the outside. Well, to have that hope so that you can be on the inside of that city, first, you do have to repent of your sins, as we already studied about in this lesson. If you're ready to do that so that God will be ready to forgive your sins, you have to obey the gospel, repent, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you haven't done that this morning, we're encouraging you to do that right now. If you do have sin in your life, if you are a Christian, and you need to repent of those things so that God will forgive you again, then we're encouraging you also to make things right with Him at this time. Anyone that needs to come, please do so right now while we stand and sing.